Thanks for being here, Elaine.
Thank you, Amber.
Can you just briefly describe what the survey is and mm-hmm. what the purpose of the survey?
When we embarked on this project, we're working with a model that is really kind of experimental. And the model, it says that wouldn't it be interesting, wouldn't it be different if we approached our community from not the perspective of, you know, we want to plan a better parking on the streets, or not the perspective of a political position, or but if we did it based on what this community actually feels is important to it and important to its survival, and what's important now and what's important to our future. So for the last year and a half or so, we've been asking some very broad, vague questions. You know, what matters to you? What's important? What can't you live without? What's important for the future of the Valley? And we took the input from that. We've gathered it in a lot of different ways. We held meetings with different groups. We were at festivals and got input from people going by. We had cards. We had coasters at the Revolution Brewery. We have tried to collect those very broad answers to very broad questions in a lot of different means. And so a couple months ago, Alexis Halbert, who's our coordinator, and I, and our advisory team, started trying to put the pieces together and look at what are the things that people value most about living here in this community. And we distilled data from over 1,000 inputs, took people's statements, took what they said, took it at face value, not try to interpret it, but took it at face value and tried to distill it into a small number of statements. And the nine value statements that we came up with as a result of that are what are shown on the survey. Within those value statements, there was a lot of information, and it was pretty broad and wide, and it shows up in the survey that way because we're not trying to reflect our own opinions, but we're trying to put what the statements were from people in the community. So we wanted to put it back out to the community and say, did we get it right? These nine value statements to give another level of input to see which ones were most important as a whole to the community, so to kind of prioritize these. So the survey was a tool that our advisory team suggested as a way to try and gather the information. In other cities or towns who are doing a similar process, we had some models for surveys that had been used, and we put our information in and thought we'd give it a go.
How do you ensure that you are truly getting the entire community's input from all the different groups?
It's a great question. And I guess I would say, first off, that there is no way to get 100% participation. One of our first steps, in fact, even before we were accepted for the grant, was to do a network analysis of this community, and to attempt to identify all of the different groups of people, different influencers, different sectors of the community, so that we had from the beginning an idea of where we wanted to go and who we needed to listen to. It's very easy for someone to kind of retreat into your own circle of friends or your own part of the community. And so we have a constant reminder that we really want to hear from all aspects of the community. And as we went into the project, we were very, very open about getting members on our advisory team and trying to get to sectors of the community, to the churches, to the different occupations, to different parts of the area, to different age groups. Now, with the survey, similarly, we're trying to put this out broadly into the community. We're doing it on Facebook. We're doing it in the newspapers. We're offering everyone the opportunity to respond and everyone the opportunity to participate. That's as much as we can do. We can't force people to participate. We're also tracking this as it relates to the demographics of the North Fork Valley. So, for example, if we looked at our sampling of people from the three different towns in the North Fork Valley, Hotchkiss, Crawford, and Paonia, Paonia has a higher representation. There are more people who have participated from Paonia. However, Paonia has the highest population. Mm-hmm. So we're balancing it to try and say, well, you know, Crawford has a smaller population, so we will have a smaller sampling from there.
Okay. What, out of all of the values that have been revealed, which value has been the most surprising to you?
That's a great question, and it's been such a wonderful year of discovery, of talking to a lot of people and getting their input, and some things are surprising and some things aren't. There's a couple, though, that on the survey responses so far are coming back very interesting, and I think it's just a display of the differences and the different opinions in our community. The one that I think initially I was most surprised at was the diversity value and the way that people described what that meant. And it's very different than what would be meant in an urban area, for example. When you think of diversity, when most people think of it in an urban setting, we sort of go to ethnicity and race as, mm-hmm. as the diversity. And that's not what people talked about here. We don't have that kind of diversity in this valley. But diversity was very important. So we asked, what does that mean? And got answers like diversity of thought. We have different ideologies. We have one response was, there are so many churches here that this person looked at in the small valley and the number of churches that is her perspective of diversity. Mm-hmm. Our multi-generations, the different lifestyles that people live, the different occupations that they may have. One person may have four different skills and occupations that are very, very diverse. The other one that is probably getting the most comments so far that we've seen on the survey responses is the statement of freedom, independence, and personal responsibility. And when we look at the statements contained in there, there's a lot there, and they're diverse.
They're not necessarily cohesive.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is a reflection of the kinds of things that we heard from people who expressed that their personal independence, the independent spirit, the sort of Western pioneer spirit, the desire for freedom and how people define that is very different. It's from, you know, being able to live up in a mountain by yourself to not having restrictions of zoning or building codes and the freedom to be an individual, to express themselves. And so there were so many different expressions of that to try and capture it. It was hard. Mm-hmm. And I think it does reflect how people have different personal perspectives of what freedom and independence means. I remember we were wrestling over this one, and we had an open house, and a gentleman came in. We were in Hotchkiss, and a gentleman came in, and he said, yeah, that's a great value, but it's only good with personal responsibility. And we said, bingo, that's it. We have to add that in. That is, you know, people are saying that too. And so that third piece of it, the personal responsibility, was what we put into the title of that statement. And that one is very interesting, because it does reflect some of the ideologies, political positions, belief systems from our diverse community.
Mm-hmm. So backing up a little bit, when we were talking about diversity, I find it very interesting that nobody really talks about race in mm-hmm. our community, and a little unfortunate too, because we may not have a huge amount of racial diversity, but there definitely is some. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody that lives here is not white. Were any of these materials or anything ever printed in, you know, in Spanish, or, you know, did you ever try to engage that part of the community? Because, you know, there's a lot of migrant workers and things here. So I was just curious about that.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. When you look at the from the census data and all of that, the spread of the population here, it is definitely skewed into one category. It's barely a blip. And even there is a Spanish community here. It's not as large as in Delta, for example, Again, in our efforts, we've tried to go out. We've tried to talk with as many people as we can of different race, different ethnic backgrounds, without trying to be targeting or profiling or, you know, picking on people. Mm-hmm. And part of it is, you know, that this has to be a process that people are comfortable with and that they will sort of come to us. So it definitely has been a topic of our conversations, of making sure we get that balance. And it is, I think, very interesting. I came from living in a place that had incredible ethnic and racial diversity. And it was personally, for me, was extremely strange for many years to be here in this population.
Yeah.
You know, one might question what impact that has on people's belief systems and on their attitudes mm-hmm. towards different races, different ethnicities. And, you know, are we really this happy community that gets along, but are we just not challenged by having different people here?
Right.
And I think that's a question that, you know, the community as a community needs to answer.
In the demographics section of the survey, you guys ask all sorts of different demographic information, age, how long mm-hmm. you've lived in the Valley, your gender, occupation, if you have children living at home, income bracket. And I'm just wondering why a question about race or ethnicity was not included in that demographic section.
We did talk about it. We looked at again, what the distribution was here, and it's just almost non-existent. It's just so low. And we probably could have asked the question, but it wasn't one of the priority questions.
Yeah.
And getting the age mix, the one that we really wanted to focus on was making sure that we had a good mix of occupation,
mm-hmm.
What people do for work, that we included input from farmers, ranchers, coal miners, business owners, artists, you know, all just to name a few, because there's so many occupations. And that really was more of our focus in another geography, in another area, and in most demographic distributions, that race and ethnicity is usually an important question. We just had to limit somewhere and felt we'd try and get a different cut.
Mm-hmm. So for our listeners out there, how can they participate in this survey?
Well, we've distributed the survey in a number of different ways. First of all, you can take the survey online. You can go to the NorthforkHeartSoul.com website, and the survey is online there. It's a SurveyMonkey, very simple. Click on the boxes, and we do welcome written comments, text comments. We also have distributed it through the Merchant Herald, and also through the Shopper. July Shopper has the survey in it, and people can fill them out. They can drop them off in a number of places. We have envelopes at all of the libraries, Crawford, Hotchkiss, and Paonia, and at the town halls. And you can also drop them off at the office on 130 Grand Ave in Paonia. They can be, I just picked some up today that were dropped off.
And what is the timeline with this survey? When do results need to be submitted by?
Right. We have an early submission incentive that we will take anyone who has submitted by the 15th of August, and they'll enter a drawing for some $100 gift cards. So we wanted to get people to get in early. But the survey will close out on August 30th.
Okay.
So we have the whole month of August to do this.
Okay. What do you hope to gain from the results of the survey?
We're approaching looking at the community in a different way, looking at a layer that oftentimes doesn't really get looked at. And what we hope to get out of this is some description of what matters most to people here. And so that can be used as a starting point for conversations and decision-making about things going forward in this valley. And what we would hope is that the town trustees, organizations, people who are making decisions about what to do here would really, really consider that these are the community values that should be part of the decision-making process of what they create for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I found a kind of a neat quote that to me summed it up really well. It's that a community almost by definition requires a shared ethic. Without a common set of values, communities are no more than unstable collections of individuals coexisting uneasily within common boundaries.
Hmm.
So thinking about our diversity, thinking about all the different people here, if we can come together and agree on these things that we value the most, we believe that that'll help in the decision-making going forward, whether it be business decisions, government decisions, nonprofit decisions, or individual decisions.
Right. I was going to say, you know, the North Fork Valley seems so inclusive when you first arrive. You know, you think it's like this wonderful, great utopia, and everybody just gets along great. Everybody, you know, the coal miners and the hippies and the ranchers and everybody.
And then Facebook happens.
Yeah. I mean, but you once you're here for, I mean, it doesn't take very long at all. You quickly realize that there's not much overlap between the groups. I mean, hardly any. Mm-hmm. You know, and so people, where they're really truly getting along is within their own groups. Saying, how can the results of Heart and Soul mm-hmm. projects really bring people together from the different groups? You know, an example would be like the strong religious communities and our strong artistic communities. How can the two interact more mm-hmm. together?
Yeah, I think in some of the conversations that we've had with folks, and I do remember one woman, we were talking with a Methodist women's group, and she said, we really work together well on local issues, on things that are important, but the things that separate us are the bigger ones, the politics, the global issues, and I thought that was a very interesting comment, and I started looking for that. And I think there's truth to that. You know, this community, if I have no doubts, if someone is in trouble, if someone's house is burning, that people will come from all different sectors. They put it all aside.
Right.
If someone needs something. And that's, I think, one of the really wonderful things about living here. It doesn't matter. If somebody needs help, people come. But on the other hand, we have our own opinions, our own individuality, and want to protect that as well. So when it comes to some of these bigger issues, that's where it all just kind of comes into the conflict.
Right.
If we have things though that we can center on, you know, if we, and it, again, it won't be 100%, but if we as a community can agree that, for example, the one that's coming out strongest right now from the survey returns that we've had is the value of the rural and natural environment, and that has been a center point. If we agree that that's one of the most or the most important thing to us here and the reason why many people are here, then it follows that we should do things to preserve and protect that. Now, when you get down to what those things are, there's a lot of difference of opinion, but
mm-hmm.
I think we see people come together on something like that, whether you're a hunter, a hiker, a biker, or just love to look out the window at the West Elks.
Right.
We appreciate that collectively. And if we can focus on those things where we have things in common and use that as a starting point, we're much more likely to have good conversations about things that are more controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And so using those as that starting point, you know, and I think if we can get that out of this, that will be a good positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're also planning in October, hoping to do and hoping to get a good response for a community summit to take these value statements and to take issues that we've also heard from people that are on their mind, that are important, and to put it together. And whether the issue is the economy and specific aspects like oil and gas drilling, whether it's about town improvements and the involvement of local government, whether it's about the fact that different groups don't get along. If we can take those issues and put them in the context of these values and have the conversation to where maybe we can get to some commonality,
mm-hmm.
We hope to do that in October at that summit.
Oh, that's great. That would be great. Okay, so when participants are answering the survey questions, you mentioned that it is important for them to respond to the questions from a community perspective rather
yes.
than an individual perspective. Can you explain a little bit about why that is so important?
Yeah, this was something that we sort of discovered early on in how we asked the questions. If we ask someone, what do you value or what are your values? In some cases, that's kind of an invasive intrusive kind of question. You're asking something that's really maybe a deep belief within that person. And it's a very different question to ask, what do you value about your community? And it truly gets a whole different set of answers. And so we really want people to look at what they value about the community and not just their personal belief. Now, there's some mix and crossover with that, but we're not trying to get at people's personal belief systems. We want to know what's important about being here, and so that the community is the object of our question, not the individual.
Right, because the individuals already had their chance to share their values, and then you guys took all of that information and tried to drizzle it down to these different value statements.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying, okay, so think of the whole entire community. How important is this to the community?
Well, but when we asked the questions initially, actually we did change it up very early on to ask what's important about the community, not mm-hmm. necessarily what's important to you.
Oh, right. Okay.
And that is, it is a very different perspective. Mm-hmm. It may be a fine line, but it's a very different perspective.
Yeah, you get different, really different
yeah.
answers. Yeah.
Yeah, I may personally have some religious belief and it's very important to me as an individual, but how do I look at the good of the community and mm-hmm. how that relates or doesn't relate to community issues?
Right.
And it really, really did and does generate, when people look at it that way, it generates a different perspective. Oh, well, yeah, I have to think about this in terms of everybody, in Payette. And it's been a challenge to actually get people to broaden their thinking out, that we're not just talking about one town. People have their allegiances to their towns.
Right.
But we're talking about the North Fork Valley. What's right. important about the valley as a mm-hmm. place? And it's hard sometimes because people get very personal sometimes. On the other hand, some people don't want to share that personal perspective or information. So it helps them open up when they're looking at the community as the object.
Right. Do you feel like there's anything else that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share about the survey or the project in general?
Well, we've been out here for over a year and tried very hard to be in a lot of places, to meet a lot of people, to have a lot of presence in the local newspapers, and we just would like to continue to encourage people to be a part of this, and we'll continue to share information back. And I guess the only other thing I would mention is, people say, well, what are you doing? What are the results? What are we getting out of this? And we took a look at it and said, in the last year, there's a whole bunch of stuff that has gone on in this valley. And we like to believe that we've been a part of maybe stirring that up or encouraging or challenging other groups to do different projects. And so the Heart and Soul Project has had a hand in the Pass the Mic project with KVNF, and it's just a wonderful kids thing to get them out into the community, asking questions, knowing what it is to be a journalist, mm-hmm. and producing creative stuff. We've had a part in the formation of the Creative Coalition and in encouraging that group to go for their creative district status. And we've been working with Hotchkiss on downtown improvement and have been supporting that and participating in the downtown improvement there. The creative district created a directory. The health and wellness folks in the community created a directory so that people know where they are and that we can really see what the assets and resources we have, in addition to the agricultural assets and the VOGA directories. And we're mm-hmm. working with the town of Paonia, and they hope to use the data for the comprehensive plan. So there's a lot of things that have shot off in this past year. Our desire is not to be a standalone project that'll be here forever and ever. But if we see these spin-off things and we see that this community comes together and works on different things, the village building conversions over in the alley in Paonia is another example of people being inspired to come together, to work together, and produce something that's of value to them in mm-hmm. their community. So those kinds of things are very rewarding, and those kinds of things are offshoots of this project. And if we inspire people by getting them to think about what really matters and what's important to them as a group, as a community, that they have an idea, they want to do something, and then if we can challenge them to work at that and to do it and make their dream, big or small as it is, become a reality, then they'll be challenged and they'll go in and they'll work on the project. And in the long run too, if we can offer some kind of vehicles of support, you know, maybe it's funding, maybe it's just organizational skills, maybe it's facilitation. If we can give that support so that that can happen, then they will pull it off and they will be inspired and empowered to mm-hmm. to work on these things. And that's how communities come together. You can't force it. It's got to come. They have to be inspired, and they have to be supported.
Right.
And it's the way things happen and get done.
All right. This is I Am from McDaniel interviewing Elaine Brett from the Heart and Soul Project, discussing the latest survey that they have out, which attempts to distill the accuracy of the value statements that were obtained through many, many different avenues. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you.